And welcome back to Cinema Vino. It's good to have y'all here. We love you.
Oh, hey.
So I'm here with Sean Jordan.
Hey, that's me.
And Travis Budd.
Oh, hey.
The Bravest Tud. And we're going to talk about episode 6 of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
The final episode.
The ultimate episode. The finale.
The penultimate episode.
That was last
week. Not what that means.
They said the season finale, not the series finale on Disney. So that kind of leaves it open.
They left it open, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They left themselves a back door.
Love going in the back door.
We've all been there.
So this is for wine. We're drinking the Freak Show Cabernet because we're doing for our Gap movie, the movie Network. So, and that was a very carnival media circus atmosphere. So,
Freak this
Show.
Isn't for Obi-Wan?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, I fucked that up.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's what we're drinking right now, but it's for the movie Network. So, yeah, Freak Show definitely seemed appropriate for that movie when we talk about it later. It was a over-the-top, crazy satire circus environment, you know, and Howard Beale was kind of at the center of all that the circus carnival atmosphere, so kind of fit,
gotcha.
I thought. So, but it's a nice, big, full-bodied cab. You know, we've been doing so many lighter wines like Pinots and, you know, white wines like, you know, Rieslings and Gewurztraminer, so it's nice to get back something big and heavy, even though it is hotter than balls outside where we are right now.
Triple digits this week.
Yeah.
I mean, I like reds anytime.
Yeah.
And I'm famous for having a dog shit palate and putting ice in my wine. I gives a fuck about it.
Is Cab Sav like a summer red?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This is the opposite. This is a wintertime. This is a fireplace, good book.
We're getting out of season for this, but
anything is a summer red if
you put ice cubes in it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I think a Beaujolais, is that more summery? Is it like a
Beaujolais is definitely more hot weather wine,
right?
Because you can drink it chilled.
I can sweat it a lot easier.
Yeah, it does come out of your pores much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Any white wine is
Cab is it's like tapping a maple tree.
Yeah, it's heavy, tannic, full bodied. Mm. But yeah, I mean anything like Pinot Grigio is great. Even like a dry Riesling, I think is great. Like an Alsatian Riesling would be good.
So what does tannic or tannins mean for our non-wine drinking?
Is that the really slow sex?
Because again, every
that's what
episode
Sting does for like 2 days straight.
Every episode is somebody's first episode. They might not know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So tannins in wine, I've heard it described perfectly for like non-wine drinkers. It's like if you ever bite into something like a piece of fruit that's not ripe yet, that feeling in your mouth is tannins. Like that's the tannin flavor, is like it's unripe fruit that's not ready to eat yet. It creates that real dry, puckery feeling.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that really comes from the skin of the grape, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Cabernet is a big, hearty, tannic wine. So it's full-bodied. I mean, it's like Cabernet is the most age-friendly wine, put it that way. It's the wine that you can, as a rule, cellar the longest. It's like Bordeaux. So tannins are what helps a wine age and mellow.
It's also, tannins are frequently found in acorns or apple seeds.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the woody part of the tree, which is actually the seed part of the tree.
Yeah.
So you get that, you know, good body out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Which is interesting because, yeah, Cabernets can have kind of an oaky flavor to them.
Mm-hmm.
They can have that kind of woodsy type, earthy flavor.
Acorns are full of tannins.
Yeah. Science is also plants.
Science is also plants.
Cannon will say that humans taste like chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So the reverse is too is true. Chicken tastes like human.
And the reverse is too.
That's from Eddie Izzard.
of
human.
So tannins, yeah. As a wine ages, like a Cabernet, the tannins will go down, and other flavors will come up and take their place. So basically, it's like the more tannic and big and bold a wine is, the better it will age. So that's why you have like a very non-tannic wine, like a Pinot Noir, won't age as a rule for very long.
You know, ones from Southeast Asia, tannins are really known for going down really quickly.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's why they call it the Titanic.
What kind of wines are on Tatooine?
I don't know. They don't really talk much about, like, booze.
They have blue milk.
They have blue milk, yeah. They have Luke Skywalker's blue.
How do we know the blue milk isn't booze?
It might be. He looked a little bit drunk after having it.
Wiping it away.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, this wine, the Freak Show Cabernet, is like $20, give or take. So it's not a bad little, you know, everything's getting more expensive. So it's not a bad value for a bottle of wine. So episode 6, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
This episode begins with Obi-Wan trying to get Leia to safety again for another episode. I have here, why does he trust Haja with the princess? Because he doesn't really know the guy. And, you know, she's a princess, so he's a con man. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
They even put it in the script.
Yeah.
Like, why would you trust me? Yeah. You know, me, a lying, stealing former fake Jedi.
Fake Jedi, yeah.
He's just like, I trust you, Haja.
Yeah.
Why?
Just saying it makes it so.
Right.
And yeah, spoiler alerts are in this. I should say that right from the get-go. So, you know, this is a recap and review. Go watch it and come back. So we're talking in the past tense for this. Now, this episode, this whole series is full of those kind of moments where it's like, they didn't really think that through, did they?
Who wrote this?
Lazy writing.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of yada yada-ing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of Game of Thrones season 8 vibes, you know?
A lot of just kind of gesticulating generally and just saying, well.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, just go with it.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, this episode, you know, it's kind of like the last couple where there's been some cool parts to it. You know, there's been some cool moments here and there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to have certain beats to just tie up the story. Like, you know, there's got to be some sort of final confrontation between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's got to happen.
Yeah.
You know, they're somehow going to yada, 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 get the ship away.
Yeah.
You know, yada, yada, yada. Reva's going to try to attack Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, episode's divided into two showdowns. Obi-Wan battling Vader on a stalagmite or stalactite planet. We're not sure which.
I think it was both.
Obi-Wan's Jedi skills have gone from 6 to midnight pretty quickly in this series. He's gone from being on the disabled list now to being superstar.
Yeah, he had Rey-level powers from the, you know,
moving sequel the
trilogy
yeah.
that you never saw from Luke. Or Vader, really, ever. I mean, Vader's stopped a ship and crushed it, but has never really lifted, you know, that much. And, you know, I would think that as the series progresses, we see people start from a higher level and keep going more crazy Dragon Ball Z. But retroactively, nah.
Yeah.
It's weird seeing people do things that you've never seen.
Well, don't worry, because Darth Vader says, I can see you got your power back.
Yeah.
So we know it happened.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and skip ahead if I can real quick before I forget this moment. Vader and Obi-Wan are fighting and he knocks him down into the pit. I 100% thought Vader was going to say, Obi-Wan, I have the high ground now.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought he was going to be petty as fuck and I was going to love the shit out of that line.
It's over, Obi-Wan.
From here to Haya, I guess. Well, I don't know
how to be clear. That
from sense. Here to meme eternity.
This yep. show did not shy away from the memes. They even hit us at the end of the show with a hello there.
Hello there.
Exactly.
God. Mm-hmm.
But it was a missed opportunity. And man, it's just, I saw somebody say this and I believe it wholeheartedly. If they're really wanting to do a sequel, like a second series or mini series or whatever they're calling these, I'm really not looking forward to it, but if they do, only Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau so far can turn, like, spin shit into gold.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't know who was all involved with this, but, like, I found it wanting.
Yes. So, yeah, I thought that the duel had some cool parts to it between the two of them. I thought the choreography was pretty good.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, I like that. I like the interplay between the two of them. I like the psychology between the two of them. You know, it's like, it's what we've been wanting to see.
It echoed back to his flashbacks from a couple episodes, or the previous episode.
Yeah.
Where it was like the little training duel that they were doing in the mm-hmm. Jedi Temple.
Yeah.
It had a lot of the same beats there.
Yeah. A lot of the same moves and just the kind of attitudes of both men.
And you got the iconic battle stance of Obi-Wan, where he's kind of like holding the lightsaber mm-hmm. over his head, and he has like the two fingers,
kind of the monk like.
Yeah, there's a name for all of his battle stances. I don't remember which one it is, but that's sort of the iconic one.
There's like seven styles of lightsaber combat, I guess.
Yeah,
and they're all. I'm like, you can easily look them up on YouTube. I've watched it once. I don't remember shit. I'm
trying to think of like the different seven. It's like shit, balls, piss, cocksucker, tits, motherfucker, and something else. I can't.
You're thinking of George Carlin's 731.
That's right. Yeah. I get those mixed up.
You know what?
It's like,
that would be much funnier is if the Jedi's would fight with all of
cocksucker motherfucker tits.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like, now for combat, I present to you my stance. It's called tits.
That's dual wielding.
And it's a motherfucker, too.
That's two styles.
Yeah.
Boba Fett.
That's a hybrid. I thought it was very weird seeing Hayden Christensen himself in the mask with his voice, you know.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, it was interesting. It wasn't bad. It was just weird, unexpected.
It was stolen from Rebels, though. Ahsoka fights Vader.
Does
and they have, yeah, the exact same thing in the exact same spot, I think.
Like through his mask.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
But it did seem interesting. I was like, I was wondering, because you see all of Anakin's wounds whenever he, you know, in Revenge of the Sith. But I was like, oh, is this like a new wound that that Obi-Wan gave him like on top of the head? Like, that's all I remember is from Return of the Jedi when he takes off his head and it's the top of his head is all jacked up. I'm like, that's weird. So I wonder if like, I don't know if this is, ooh, a new scar. But I was really looking forward. Like, I was like, I wanted him to have the crazy red, yellow eye.
The Sith eyes.
And they did it eventually, but it didn't quite.
Didn't pop.
Yeah. Didn't pop like it did in Rebels.
Also, is it safe to say that they kind of went overboard with the lightsaber underlighting?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they really overplayed the lights coming off the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, it was very LED, like, overpowered. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little too ambient.
It felt like a dude showing off his, like, LED-lit desk.
Yeah.
Like, check out my sweet lighting
stuff. Yeah.
They 20s. No, they 10s, but I keep them clean.
It's like, sometimes I use this red lightsaber to develop photographs in a dark room.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Vader was very fast just walking up to Obi-Wan. I was like, all right, you know, we've seen maybe he's older or whatever. These are just my little nitpicks. Also, Vader with a fucking Star Destroyer or what's the next level up of Star Destroyer?
Like Imperial, like
Star Cruiser?
Imperial Star Cruiser.
Super,
whatever.
Super Star Destroyer, I believe.
Superstar. Like, was he was in a Superstar Star
Super
Destroyer,
right? Sand Destroyer?
Whatever it was, like, again, that thing has a fuck ton of TIE fighters. Like, why wouldn't you...
We're just going to shoot at him slowly.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, well, they went after Obi-Wan, which I guess, you know, I understand it. It's the play, whatever.
Because, you know, but yada, yada, yada.
Because yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But again, once Obi-Wan lands, if you know where that ship is, like, I would send one TIE fighter, like, hey, just go and just blow that ship to smithereens so he can't get off this rock.
Yeah.
If nothing else, he can't go anywhere, and I'm tired of chasing this dude.
I kind of assumed that he was going to take off in Darth Vader's ship because Darth Vader's ship would have a hyperspeed.
Yeah.
Not knowing that the ship that he had the entire time also had fucking a hyperdrive.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't that the whole point, is that they're going slow mode because they can't fix their hyperdrive? Well, oh, guess what? There's a motivator that works in the fucking away ship.
Yeah.
There's so many holes in this entire fucking series. It was at about a 6. It needed to be at about an 8 or a 9. For an Obi-Wan series, like, step it the fuck up.
It feels like a show that got written and rewritten and rewritten and pulled apart and hacked pieces and put back together a million times.
They were on cruise control.
Like, they had one, like, through line of the plot. It was very basic. It was very predictable. And then no one ever really colored outside the lines. Everything was just sort of there. Where Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are notorious for, like, really adding a lot of detail, adding a lot of color, adding a lot of like world building,
humanity, like
that just wasn't here. All we had was Haja, I trust you now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I say so.
Same with Reva. Like, she's a fine actress.
Mm-hmm. And I thought she did really well in this episode. Like, with the breakdown, I thought the character's motivations made no sense. Maybe I'm off the base here, but it's like, I don't know, understand why she's going.
Why is she trying to kill Luke?
Hunt down Luke. After the whole thing in the last episode where it's obvious she's trying to kill Vader because he killed those kids. Now she's going to kill a kid.
Felt like she was trying to get revenge on Vader.
Because she can't get revenge on him
Vader
himself.
Vader doesn't even know about Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did she know that Luke was his kid?
Yeah. I didn't get the beat where she understood that's Luke Skywalker.
No.
Same.
Or that he was like either special to Luke, or that he was a potential youngling. I don't understand why she was so motivated to kill Luke. I didn't understand that. So
all the things they could have like spelled out for us, they just decided not to on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I get that at the end where she was too upset to do it. I understand that. It's like she couldn't come.
Yeah, she saw herself as a youngling. And so
it was like Luke and confronting Vader and Jedi, where it's like he couldn't become what he was trying to kill.
And it, did Luke ever see Reva's lightsaber? Because all I kept thinking about was whenever the first time Luke saw Obi-Wan and had, he was like, oh, this is your dad's lightsaber. Like, what?
Yeah.
I thought these were a myth. I've never seen a lightsaber. Yeah. Like, wait, did he?
Yeah.
There was just too many things where I was like, they didn't pay close enough attention. It, like, how hard is it to watch one of the original trilogy movies and be like, okay, don't cross this line.
Mm-hmm.
And they muddied the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay. So I guess she didn't get her mind wipe. She knows enough about Obi-Wan to know his name is Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end to be like, hey, you're my only hope. Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. That made more sense to me at the end. I'm like, okay, she knows of him. You're not going to force mind wipe her or whatever. So she's going to know that he's a friend of the family and that he was a Jedi or something, and she can send a message out to him.
You fought in with the my diarist father during of, the Clone Wars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that line. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. He's the waters again.
Yeah, but, right. Totally. But yeah, I there was so much going on here that I didn't understand. I was just, especially like that entire Reva storyline, it's just like, I mean, I felt like the actress could have done more if the part had been written a little bit better, and like her motivations were a little bit clearer. But yeah,
it felt like they were trying to tie a bow on a character that I just didn't really care about.
Yeah,
they were setting her up because they didn't kill her. They're going to use her again.
Yeah,
she's going to show up in Ahsoka or something. Or it was an introduction to a character. It was a good nugget of an idea that wasn't realized fully. I thought Reva did great as like a fanatic killer, but like they could have halved the amount of parkour in that episode when she's like, hey, yeah, they're like six rooftops away, and she does like a full minute and a half of parkour.
Like the guy, I'm like exaggerating. Casino Royale, but yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mission Impossible 7.
Mm-hmm. Overall, I thought the series started off pretty weak. It got a little bit stronger toward the end. Definitely some mediocre episodes in the middle. It's great to see Ewan McGregor play Obi-Wan. He was a bright spot of the prequels. And I would watch more with him just on that basis. If they find something, like you say, the right people to do it, get some cool adventures for him where he's like fighting bounty hunters or some shit.
I miss Flea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Get Anthony Kiedis in the next one and we'll talk.
Yes.
You know, I need
just have a whole musical number with Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
And turn it into a music video.
Yeah. It could be all about heroin in California.
Red Hot Cantina.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would say this episode, I would give it honestly a 7, just because I enjoyed the duels. Series overall, I'd give it a 6.5 out of 10.
I give the overall series a 6. Final episode, 6.5.
Actually, exactly what Sean said.
Yeah.
Yeah, the entire series, 6. Last one, 6.5. We got to see Vader. We got to see Palpatine. At the very end, we got to see Qui-Gon Jinn.
Mm-hmm.
He had one or two lines. Liam Neeson, under a beard and wig, like, hasn't aged a day.
No.
Liam Neeson's, though?
Liam Neeson's?
No.
And actually, I would kind of like that as a like a buddy cop deal with Qui-Gon just popping in every once in a while, kind of like Ziggy in old Quantum Leap, and just, like, talking to Obi-Wan every once in a while. Like,
nobody else can see
trying to help
him.
Guide him. Because if Obi-Wan, if all he's doing is chilling on Tatooine, sucking back on some blue milk and, you know, hanging out with Jawas, like, every once in a while, when he's out in the desert by himself, he's going to need a homeboy to talk to.
If there's one thing we know about between this storyline and when A New Hope starts, is that there is a lot of sun exposure in Obi-Wan's future.
Uh-huh.
So he's got some time to get wrinkly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Get wrinkly with it.
Getting wrinkly with it was our prom theme.
Ooh.
Say that 3 times fast.
It's a lot of time soaking.
Getting wrinkly.
We get Leia getting reunited with her droid, Lola, which we never see again, mm-hmm. and is never explained away. Like, it seemed like a useful little, like, utility belt tool.
Maybe they'll spin the droid off into its own series.
Mm-hmm. She got a holster for a blaster that they're like, oh, this is going to be with her. Like, I guess she has those. And
was that part of her costume then?
I don't even remember.
I don't know.
She had a holster.
Todd, I remember you saying something, or one of you guys said something like, oh, this is how, like, oh, this is how Leia got her buns. Like, I'm out. Her ear buns. Like, flipping this table.
What's like, you know, Luke getting his little toy plane that he plays with in episode four? It's like, I don't care. I really don't care.
I don't care where he got the toy.
They really want to like make artifacts out of like these little things, like Han Solo, his dice on the Millennium Falcon. Like,
don't care.
I never noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah, no holster like, on Leia. Okay. Yeah. New Hope.
Yeah. It's just
it's like you're working hard to please some goobers that actually care about the dice in the Millennium Falcon.
Right. I mean,
excuse me, the die.
Yeah.
Oh no, there's two.
So
is it's dice.
Two is dice?
Yes.
I thought two was die.
Nope. A singular is die.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are wanting to like lift up mundane items and shit to like artifact level.
We need to look this up. Is it two die?
No.
Is it
rolling dice is multiple. A singular is die.
I'm gonna take Travis's lead on dice, just as a rule.
Okay. Yeah. That's true. He is.
I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. Todd's wife said suck a dick, but that doesn't.
Die is the singular form of dice. It comes from the French word des, a plural word for the same objects.
It comes from Milwaukee, which means the good
chosen
land.
Country.
Okay, so I'm glad we worked that out.
Mm-hmm.
Never say die. Goonies never say die. No. So this has been another Cinema Vino, look at Obi-Wan Episode 6. And we thank you guys very much for listening.
What's next in Star Wars?
Obi-Wan, I have the high ground now.
Ahsoka?
Is Ahsoka next?
Maybe.
Or, Andor, I think.
Andor. Which I, you know, again, don't really care.
And then apparently they're going to have, they're talking about having a Cal Kestis series, maybe. There's rumor, and that's the redhead dude from one of the video games.
Yeah, from Fallen Order? Jedi maybe? Fallen Order?
Something like that.
Star Wars Fallen Order? Mm. Yeah.
Cal Kestis.
But
we still don't get any Galen Merrick from Force Unleashed, those fuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Another episode.
We're going to do the movie Network. We have a Gap movie.
It's our palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be something completely different. One of my all-time favorites. So
now for something completely different.
I'll be interested to hear your guys' opinions. But, we will see you guys next time.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.
Getting wrinkly with it was our prom theme.